The White House budget request for 2016 is out. You can find a link to it at federalnewsradio.com. And we have a lot of resources surrounding the budget and what's in it on our homepage. It includes a 1.3% pay raise for federal employees. Congressional Republicans are already saying it's dead on arrival. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and looking at the budget details with a view from Capitol Hill. Is the DOA stuff, David, political showmanship, and there might be some people pouring through the budget to find things that they could agree with on the Republican side on the Hill, or is that really the state of the art and the leaders on both sides of Capitol Hill on the Republican side don't have any intention of paying much attention to this budget, David? Thanks for being on today.
Well, thank you. I think here's the easy answer. Both things are true. in the big picture, you know, this is the same, you know, and I'm sure maybe other people you've had on this afternoon have used the Groundhog Day joke, but I'll just, you know, it's the same thing. Once again, a president of one party sends up all these books, and members of Congress who run the people who run Congress from the other party say dead on arrival. In the main, that's true. The president is not going to be allowed to raise. He's not going to get his wish to raise discretionary spending by 7%. He's not going to get his wish to increase taxes on the wealthy by billions and trillions of dollars. You know, the big things that will be written about in the mainstream press and talked about on the mainstream cable shows are not going to happen. However, you know, those books are enormous, and they are filled with program-by-program proposals, many of which the appropriators and the authorizing committees know about in advance, and they're not going to get much hype or discussion. But the people at these agencies know that they're going to happen. They're going to get blessed. I mean, you know, if the president wants to, I'm just making one up that I probably shouldn't make one up, but just let's say for the sake of argument, if the president wants to build, you know, his budget calls for building two new minimum security prisons somewhere in the next year, that's been vetted with Congress. They understand that's happening. It's going to probably happen. So those are that's the sort of the on the one hand, on the other hand answer that I'm giving you here.
And that's fair enough, because I get a sense that we would never get a budget done ever if we started completely from scratch and the budget request from the White House was really just an exercise in busy work.
That's right.
And the committees decided, no matter what the political power dynamic was, we're going to start over and just do it completely from scratch.
It's a little bit like what we've been talking about for several months before this month, which was about the omnibus and the appropriations bills, right? All the press, all the attention goes to the handful of big issues in which the president and Congress disagree. Dozens and dozens of issues and debates that actually keep, you know, 98% of the government operating and growing and changing its priorities, you know, never get discussed in the mainstream press, but yet they do happen.
So this request now is all over the place. And the committee people, the members and chairs especially, and their staffs are combing through it. What will happen to it next? What goes where and who does what next?
Well, the next couple of days there's sort of a ritual in which members of the leading people from the OMB come to talk to the budget committees tomorrow and the next day. And then cabinet secretaries and undersecretaries tend to come up before the committees that authorize their agencies and defend the budget. And meanwhile, the real work is getting underway, which is that the appropriators are starting to pay attention to pick apart the giant justification books. And that goes on mostly behind the scenes. The big formal set piece, which is going to be different this year than in most past years, is what Congress is supposed to do under the budget law in effect for the last 40 years, is write a budget resolution that is their response to the president's budget, that is essentially their saying, no, Mr. President, here's the big way in which we would shape our budget. That hasn't gotten done for about the last 4 or 5 years because of divided government. This time the Republicans say that they're going to do it. They're going to do it on time. They run the House and the Senate. It's supposed to get done by April 15th. I think there's a reason to expect that it will get done by April 15th.
And yet we've seen instances before where the president's one party and both chambers are controlled by the other party, and we've seen it go both directions, that doesn't happen. And I'm not suggesting there's a reason to think that it will or won't this time. I'll trust your judgment on that. But it certainly isn't a lock, right?
Well, that's right. And what I'm talking about here is not a law. This is just a budget resolution. This is something the president doesn't even get to veto. This is Congress itself saying, here are our big ticket budget priorities and goals. The most important thing that will come out of that, and that will the most important debate that will be a part of this budget resolution, is over sequestration. This will be where the Republicans sort of have to tip their hand as to whether they are going to stick with the sequestration numbers that are on course for the next year or allow them to be bent, because if the budget resolution does not have the force of law, but it does guide the spending debate more than anything else. There's something the real budget wonks know it is the 302A number. It's the big ticket, the grand total in discretionary spending. It's what then the appropriations committees divide up and start spending.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call, looking at President Obama's fiscal 16 budget request submitted today. I'm starting to hear discussion of about sequester that's a little different than I've heard it in the past, and I wonder if you're hearing the same thing. At least within the agencies, and especially within the Defense Department, I'm starting to hear maybe a resignation to the Budget Control Act numbers, the sequester numbers, the caps, but a desire to essentially say to Congress, okay, if that's all the money we're going to get, then let's have bills that do that and we can plan for that. And I understand it's partially on the administration and coming out with a defense budget bill that's $534 billion when the cap number's $498 isn't helpful. But there's a willingness, I think, to concede if we have to have the number, let's have the certainty that goes with the number instead of trying to figure out on the back end where the 6% or 7% is going to come from. Is any of that taking root on the Hill? Is anybody thinking about that or talking about that to your knowledge yet, David?
I think it is in some quarters. I'm not sure it's yet really bubbled up onto the into the frontal lobes of the really big leaders. I think that this is going to be one of the big challenges that, you know, listeners may know. It will be reminded that John Boehner has one of the many hard jobs in Washington, which is that he's got to find a way to satisfy the conservatives on the one hand and the really, really, really conservatives on the other. And the really, really, really conservatives, many of them are going to want to live with this sequester number. Some are going to want to live with it for domestic but not defense. Some really don't want to live with it for either because they actually think that the government should be spending more on some things like infrastructure. So I'm not sure that – I don't think that either Mitch McConnell or John Boehner or their deputies have yet got a clear signal to send as to where they're going to head on this. And that's why I say between now and April 15th, they'll kind of have to figure this out if they want to do what they say they want to do, which is run the government like a united Congress should run the government, which is move the budget and appropriation schedule more or less on time.
Well, because I don't mean to imply that anybody thinks that I'm just going to take the defense budget for an example because I know the numbers off the top of my head. I'm not going to suggest that anybody involved thinks that 498 should be the right number. But if that's what the number's going to be, I think it's a pretty persuasive argument to say, just give us the 498 and let us figure out how we're going to move forward.
I think many people say that's the persuasive, sensible thing to do. And as I say, I think, you know, people who are actually focused down at that level are starting to think that way. The big political considerations may dictate something else.
Before I let you go, anything happening on a bill to fund the Homeland Security Department for the rest of this fiscal year? We still have some FY15 business to get out of the way before we get entirely to 16.
I know what they were going to start doing this week has been put off until tomorrow in both the House and the Senate. I think the Senate was supposed to start on that bill tonight. And because of weather considerations elsewhere in the country, they're not going to be able to get it off the ground until before tomorrow. I don't think there's any big macro strategizing that's come down. I'll be honest. I think all of us who think about stories with dollar signs in them have not been thinking about that story just for today.
And if it's a weather thing, I guess that makes sense. I understand there are parts of the country that are extremely hard hit by the weather over the last several days or week. But my sense was, my understanding was, once we got past the Keystone Bill in the Senate, that this was going to be next. Is that still the case?
Right. Yes, it is. It is supposed to be the so-called pending business before the Senate. But we don't. Had there been a vote tonight, we might have heard, or at least been able to do some reporting about how Mitch McConnell plans to game this out, so that whether he, as you and I talked about this a little bit last week, and you probably talked about it with others, his strategy, he's got to decide whether to allow a full-fledged debate on this, as he has promised, and how long to let that go on, and does that end up working to his advantage when, at the end of allowing a long and full-fledged debate with many, many amendments, in the end, he's got to figure out a way to bring it to a close in such a way as that he does not have this immigration language in his bill. And because I think both sides, both the McConnell side and the John Boehner side, is not in the end going to pick this fight.
It's excellent insight as always, and that gives me hope that we are not going to be doing the dun-dun-dun shutdown business as we get closer to February 27th, at least for DHS. Thanks for being on as always, David.
Take care, sir.